From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Firefighters remain focused on protecting Chena Hot Springs Resort and area cabins from the Munson Creek wildfire, the 24,000-acre lightning-caused blaze. About 50 miles east of Fairbanks made it to the resort property overnight. But as KUAC's Dan Bross reports, firefighters were well prepared.
The Munson Creek fire is burning primarily in a remote, limited protection area, but worked its way from a ridge to Chena Hot Springs Resort over the long holiday weekend. State Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says firefighters are able to engage the slow-moving flames.
There's three fingers of the fire that are sort of coming down that hillside. It's not a big wall of flames or anything like that. The closest it got was about within 100 yards behind the resort. We've got firefighters positioned there to stop it, and they've been successful doing that.
A system of water pumps, hoses, and sprinklers are set up around resort structures, as well as dozens of private cabins and homes outside the resort along the last 8 miles of Chena Hot Springs Road, where an evacuation order remains in effect.
Closest it is to any to the road or, you know, those cabins along the road on the south side is about 1 mile. So it's still a little distance from the road. Firefighters continue to set up structure protection around more cabins as they move farther down the road toward 48 mile.
Mowry says cooler, cloudier weather is giving firefighters time to complete that work. It's unclear how many people have actually evacuated, as Chena Hot Springs Resort remains open.
We're safer here than any place else.
Bernie Carl is president of Chena Holdings, the holding company for the employee-owned Chena Hot Springs Resort. Carl says the resort has a wildfire response plan and equipment.
Fire trucks, dozers, loaders, equipment all here ready to fight the fire.
No structures have been lost, but Carl says about 1,500 acres of resort property had burned as of Monday, and that staff were moved from employee housing on the outskirts of the resort.
The fire was close to the employee housing, so we put sprinklers all around the area, and we moved them into the hotel, because that was a much safer area. And we moved our horses out of a paddock and moved them into a corral that's 5 acres fenced in, closer to the resort.
Carl emphasizes that the resort is operating and new guests continue to arrive. The decision to stay open and not evacuate has drawn local criticism. Forestry's Mowry says no one can be forced to leave, but underscores that staying in the fire zone puts firefighters at additional risk.
If they have to worry about saving people that did not evacuate, it just takes their focus away from what they're trying to accomplish.
Mowry says another crew is expected to arrive today and will increase the number of firefighters on the Munson Creek blaze to about 175. With help from KUAC's Robin and Dan Bross in Fairbanks.
In other news, despite the absence of an official fireworks show, Sitka's 4th of July was celebrated with the usual festivities this year. But the 4th of the month marks another important occasion, Elizabeth Paratovich's birthday. Some Sitkans are planning to honor the Alaska Native civil rights leader with a new and useful monument.
Zach LaPerriere is carving a bench out of a 100-foot-tall yellow cedar tree.
I had been out to Glenken Island where a yellow cedar tree had blown over onto a building. A very robust, strong tree that had it not blown over, if all had gone well, was ready for hundreds upon hundreds of years of a good life.
The century-old tree's root structure was compromised, so the owners cut it down and donated it for a woodworking project. LaPerriere has built several yellow cedar benches over the last few years in memory of Sitkans, but this bench is going to be part of a larger tapestry of installations that will tell the history of Sitka and Southeast. It's called the Benches and Birds Project, and the first bench will honor Alaska Native civil rights leader Elizabeth Wanamaker Paratovich, who was instrumental in the passage of the 1945 Anti-Discrimination Act.
One of the reasons that we wanted to highlight Elizabeth is because it is time that we accept that her legacy is significant, not only locally, but around the world. She is a Tlingit woman who has had tremendous influence, not only in the past century, but even moving forward.
ANS Grand President Paulette Moreno is leading the project with Lloyd Platson.
It kind of grew out of a conversation that Paulette and I had about Martin Luther King Day, the service day. And we were talking about wanting to have something that lasts a little bit longer than just the day.
They plan to install benches and bird statues around Sitka, but there will be more to them than meets the eye. Each installation will include a QR code that visitors can scan to learn more about the person the bench commemorates.
So that people can actually have like a walking history tour. Not only like we were talking about students, but also visitors and people that want to have a greater knowledge of Alaska.
The group plans to install the Elizabeth Paratovich bench in front of Centennial Hall, where the statue of Alexander Baranov once stood. The statue of the Russian settler was moved to the Sitka History Museum in 2020 after members of the public called on the assembly to remove it. Moreno says she hopes it will be an opportunity for healing and coming together.
Having courageous conversation in our communities brings many things forward. Some of them are pain, some of them are conflict, misunderstandings, but what it ultimately does is bring forward an opportunity for healing, an opportunity to have not only one dominant voice heard, but several voices heard.
And Platson says the goal is to install several benches beneath the flagpoles in front of Centennial Hall and create a gathering place where the statue once stood.
And so what better way to do that in showing diversity of our community by where the Baranov statue was in that area, put something that honored the diversity and the different histories of this place. It's a great area to do that in, because that's the kind of the gathering. When you think about tourism, that's where a lot of the tourism begins. A lot of the buses leave from there.
Moreno says it's a way to perpetuate Elizabeth Paratovich's legacy.
Elizabeth's voice is still speaking today. Elizabeth's work is ongoing. She had said something to the effect that even though the law was passed in 1945, there would be ongoing vigilance needed to continue the spirit of the work. I see this as an opportunity to continue the spirit and honor her legacy and to give us a focal point, a touchstone in going forward as we understand that we can be and we should be one people with one vision for the good of all.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Reborn airline Raven Alaska has hired several people to study new Trans-Pacific service that its chief executive says could launch as soon as next summer. Rob McKinney says the company, which right now operates solely inside Alaska, would fly between Asian hubs and destinations in the lower 48, with stops in Anchorage for passengers to clear customs. McKinney says that by using smaller jets, those that have a single aisle, the flights could be sold more cheaply than existing airlines that use larger planes. And even if they're not nonstop, McKinney says they could still attract enough customers to schedule year-round daily service.
The planes that we operate, we think we can do it more cost effective, so we might have a better price point. We also think the process of clearing customs and immigration in Alaska would be far superior and less painful than some of the more busy airports in the lower 48.
McKinney says Raven has hired three or four people who are working full time on developing the company's plans, though they are far from solid. He says Raven is looking at several options to raise the money needed to launch the service, but he isn't releasing any details. While Raven's initial plans would be geared toward travelers between the lower 48 and Asian cities like Tokyo and Seoul, McKinney says that ultimately he sees potential in making Anchorage a tourism stopover like Iceland often is for people flying between the U.S. and Europe.
Instead of connecting across a couple hours, you connect across a couple days and then you get to go dog sledding or salmon fishing or you know, all these wonderful things you can do here.
Raven currently operates 11 planes between Anchorage and rural hub communities. Its current majority owner is a family trust of California entrepreneur entrepreneur and Bitcoin investor Josh Jones. The company emerged from bankruptcy last year after COVID-19 hammered its revenue, and McKinney says it's returned to profitability this spring. Raven says it's confident it could launch the new service without taking on what McKinney calls excessive debt, which sank the previous incarnation of the company. For more on this and other news stories, go to KTOO.org. This is KTOO News.